The Tanya is a book that the Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, wrote after, according to tradition, after working on this book for 20 years. The book was finally printed in 1796, and Alter Rebbe started it 20 years earlier. It is a book where the Alter Rebbe explains to us the essence of the Jew, the essence of our connection with Hashem, and the essence of our task, our mission in this world. So the Tanya is a very, very far-reaching work, and it's a very basic, a fundamental work in understanding our neshama, our soul, and our connection with our mission, our connection with our Creator, our purpose in life. Hasidim say that any question, the Rebbes actually say that any question that a person has in any area of life can be answered by understanding part of Tanya. We're soon going to see the Alter Rebbe himself pretty much says this in the introduction to Tanya. So this is a very, very important work. Chassidim call this Tanya, the work of Tanya, the Torah Shebichsav of Chassidus, the written Torah of Chassidus, the fundamental Torah of the Hasidic understanding and the Hasidic teachings. The Alter Rebbe says that the Tanya he wrote is compiled from sacred books from teachers whose souls are in Eden, meaning people have already passed away. And it's based, to explain to us, it's based on a pasuk, based on a verse that Moshe tells the Jewish people at the end of his life, when the Jews are about to enter Israel, and he's giving them a long pep talk, very, very long pep talk. The book of Devarim, the entire book of Devarim, the fifth book of the Torah, is Moshe's pep talk to the Jews, Moshe's soliloquy, his speech, his last speech to the Jewish people that he started 6 weeks before he was about to pass away. And he basically tells the people the whole book of Devarim, and he reminds them of the miracles that happened over the 40 years, being in the desert, leaving Egypt, and the Ten Commandments, and receiving the Torah, and all kinds of everything that happened. And he also tells the people that you have the power within you to be connected to Hashem at all times. And you have the power within you to be able to fulfill mitzvahs on a very high level. And he uses the following phrase, and this is towards the end of the book of Devarim. He says, Ki karov elecha hadavar ma'od, this thing, which thing? The Torah, the fulfillment of the Torah, is very near to you. And then Moshe says, Bificha uvilvavcha la'aso, so in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. It's a very interesting sentence. It seems from first glance reading it that what is Moshe saying? He's saying that the Torah, which contains mitzvahs that are, some of them are thought mitzvahs, belief, emotion mitzvahs. We have a mitzvah to love Hashem. It says in the Shema, "V'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha." We have a mitzvah to believe in Hashem. Some of them are thought mitzvahs. We have a mitzvah not to hate someone in our heart. So that's also a thought mitzvah. Lo tisnas achicha b'levecha, don't hate your fellow in your heart. The mitzvah, "V'ahavta l'rechmocha," love your fellow as yourself. Obviously, these are all emotional mitzvahs. Then we have mitzvahs that are speech mitzvahs. We have a mitzvah to daven. There's a mitzvah to daven every single day. There's a mitzvah to thank Hashem for everything, all the blessings, all the brachos, all the blessings that we have in our life. There's a mitzvah not to speak lashon hara, not to speak bad, not to say bad stuff about people. And definitely not to make up stories, which is not considered lashon hara. It's worse than lashon hara. It's slander. It's mosi shemra. It's considered to be telling lies about people. The mitzvah to say the truth. So mitzvahs in speech, whether it's davening or it's saying brachas or it's not saying bad stuff. And then, of course, we have a lot of mitzvahs in action. A lot of mitzvahs. We have mitzvah to give tzedakah, mitzvah to do many, many different action mitzvahs. So it would seem from this pasuk that Moshe is telling the Jewish people This thing, the fulfillment of the Torah, is very near to you, meaning it's easy for you to do. As a matter of fact, he then goes on to say, you don't have to climb over the heavens. You don't have to climb over the mountains, over the sea. It's very close to you. And in your mouth, in your heart, that you may do it, is a reference, it would seem, to the three aspects, the three categories of our obligations to Hashem, whether they're emotional, whether they're mental, emotional, or verbal, or action. That you may do it is the action. So Alter Rebbe, however, is going to explain to us that, in fact, this pasuk, this verse, while it's true, obviously everything it can be understood on many levels. On the literal level, Moshe is telling the Jewish people that anything that has to do with your mouth or your heart and doing is close to you. So clearly that's what he's saying. The order, however, and that you may do it, is a little bit interesting. Alter Rebbe is going to explain to us. And what we're going to find out over the course of the 53 finished just a little while ago, what we're going to find out is that, in fact, the Avas Hashem, the love for Hashem, is a love for Hashem that is bilvavcha la'asoso, in your heart to do it. So that the verse should be understood not only on the literal level, that it's talking about three categories of interfacing with Hashem, of fulfilling our obligations to Hashem through thought and speech and action. But because the verse changes around, how does it work? What do we understand is the process. First comes thought, then comes speech, and then comes action. Obviously, if a person hasn't thought about something, you're not going to say those words, and then you're not going to act on that statement. So thought, speech, action, that's the way it has to work. But when you take a look in the pasuk, in the verse, it says speech, thought, action. First speech in your mouth, then in your heart, which we've defined as something that's more internal to yourself, something that's in your thought process. And then action. So why is this? Why is it speech, thought, action? The Alter Rebbe says the tension of these, the order of the words in this pasuk, in this verse, is intending to teach us a very, very deep and important lesson. And that is that there is in your heart to do it. You can do something about the feelings in your heart. You need, not only can you, but it's easy for you, and it is incumbent upon you. You must do it. So the obligation, therefore, of the Jew and the energy, the encouragement that Moshe is giving us, because this pasuk is in the Torah, is standing and is talking to us every single day. Right, the Torah is not a one-shot deal. Moshe is talking to us every single day. And Moshe is telling us that you should know, each of us, each individual Jew. And Moshe is the ultimate coach, the ultimate teacher. Moshe is called Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe our coach, Moshe our teacher. And he's telling us that you should know that there is the possibility, the clear and close possibility, and therefore the clear and close obligation, and therefore the clear and close privilege of bilvavcha la'asoso, of working on your heart, to do on your heart, working on your heart to have the proper love for Hashem, the proper feelings for Torah and mitzvahs. And that is, as we will discover in the coming chapters, that really is the goal. That really is the ultimate state of mind. Because, as we're going to be discovering in the coming chapters again, the struggle that we have in order to fulfill Torah and mitzvahs, in order to live our life according to the way Hashem wants us to live our life, that struggle is what the Alter Rebbe is homing in on. That struggle is what the purpose of Tanya is laser beam focused on. That particular struggle, and we're soon going to see the Alter Rebbe actually tells us this in so many words in his introduction, that the whole purpose of the Tanya is to be able to focus our minds and our hearts and to make us understand how to struggle and how to get over the struggles and so on. So Tanya is a self-help book for the Jewish people that is based, therefore, on the exhortation, the promise, the statement that Moshe makes, that it's very easy for us, bilvavcha la'asoso, to remake the feelings in our heart so that our approach to the world, our approach to our mission, our approach to our life, our approach to every single moment of every single day should not be a struggle. Rather, it should be not only a smooth sailing process, but it should be a process that is full of connection, full of simcha, joy, full of emunah, faith, and
Amen.
we will be describing all of
Rabbi,
the
I have a question. I
yes.
have a question. How come is that your speech comes before your thought? Don't you think? Well, kind of understandable for me. You speak first and you think. But you said it's the speech, then the thought, and then the heart. Why this order?
So we're gonna see. We will. It's a very good question. We will see that that you gotta start somewhere, right? You gotta start somewhere. So if we're gonna be making over bilvav chalasoso, we're gonna be making over our heart. We're gonna be working on our heart. We're working on our emotional processes. We have to start somewhere, and that somewhere starts with the study of Torah, obviously, and that is beficha. So beficha, the ultimate picha, the ultimate verbalization using our mouth to serve Hashem, the Alter Rebbe will explain to us, is Torah. And we will see also in the chapter, later chapters, we will see that the Alter Rebbe says that the speech of Torah actually is considered to be an action. So it has the quality of all of those together. It has the understanding. When you study Torah, it has the understanding because you understand what the purpose of study is to understand. So it occupies your mind. You speak the words with your mouth. And the fact that you've enunciated those syllables, those words, is considered also to be an action. So it actually has all three together. That is a very important question that you raised. And therefore, the beficha is referring to the study of Torah, which precedes everything else. And we're going to also see, the Rebbe is going to explain to us, and that's the end of this paragraph, which is the Alter Rebbe's original short introduction to the title page, that it's close to us in a long way and in a short way. Alter Rebbe says, we will be explaining to you in this book how it is near, meaning accessible to you to do, in a lengthy way and in a short way with the aid of Hashem, with Hashem's help. We'll explain this to you. What does this mean, a long way and a short way? What is the Alter Rebbe referring to here? So Chassidim explain that a couple of things, but Chassidim explain first in the book itself, there's going to be sort of a longer, a shorter synopsis and then longer explanation. But Chassidim also explained what this means is, Alter Rebbe says, the short way, the easy way to access and to make over your heart is to recognize that you have it in yourself all the time, to recognize that you're there already. So, for example, if you tell your kid, I want you to know that you
Good
already
morning.
have this opportunity.
Happy New Year.
You already have
First,
this.
I'm look, guys, mute yourself.
You already have this ability. You don't have to learn this new. You've already learned this concept. Now, the Rebbe tells us in Tanya that we Jews have an inheritance from our great ancestors, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Sarah Rivka Rachelei, obviously, and all the great tzaddikim. We have an inheritance, and that inheritance is our DNA, our spiritual DNA, and we have it inside of us already, and all we have to do is not mess it up. All we have to do is not block the messages that our own internal spiritual DNA is giving us, and then we will immediately have the correct mental and emotional approach to Torah, to mitzvahs, to Hashem. That's the short way. So recognize that you have it inside of yourself already. You don't have to do any work. All you got to do is just realize it. But then the Alter Rebbe says, we're also going to tell you in a long way. And the long way is through meditation, through understanding the levels of the soul, through understanding the different ways, the way that Hashem gives life to the world, through understanding the different types of love for Hashem. You recall, we spoke about so many different types of love for Hashem and so many different ways to motivate that love for Hashem and meditations and ways to get your head in the right place so that your heart follows. So therefore, this is the Alter Rebbe's original title page. And the Alter Rebbe explains to us that the Book of Tanya is a self-help book that is intended to help the Jew fulfill the promise, the statement, the exhortation that Moshe Rabbeinu has told us in the Chumash, in the Torah, that this thing is very close, beficha, through using your mouth to study the words of Torah. Bilvavcha la'asoso, you'll be able to remake your heart to have the right and love for Hashem, the right attitude, the right approach, and you will be in a completely different place. You will not have any struggle. Instead, your relationship with your neshama is going to be a seamless relationship, in other words, between the body and the soul, which seems to be contradictory. It seems to be that the spiritual pursuits and the physical life are colliding with each other. You want to be spiritual, you cannot be living in a material world. You can't be occupied and busy with just ordinary stuff, taking care of your ordinary physical material responsibilities, whether it's job, family, whatever it is. It seems to be that these are contradictory. These are on collision course with wanting to be an individual who is meditating and studying and bringing spirituality into the world. Working in the nitty-gritty in the trenches is seems to be opposite. Alter Rebbe will explain to us, no, that's not so. That's actually the purpose. And all you have to do is recognize and see what you're accomplishing, and then you will be able to have this kind of seamless approach to your life, and you will not have a struggle. Alter Rebbe does explain that if you do have a struggle, that itself is also positive. We're going to see that later on. So this is the title page of Tanya. So now we know what it is that the Alter Rebbe is going to be teaching us. What is the purpose of the book? And what is the purpose of the Jew? So let's see. We'll go to the introduction to Tanya. This is the Alter Rebbe's introduction to Tanya. After the title page, he wrote this introduction. He says, I am calling upon all of the Chassidim. And I'm calling upon all of the Hasidim, and I'm telling you that I'm writing you this letter, which is an introduction to the book, because the Hasidim had a complaint to the Alter Rebbe, and the complaint was, how are you taking away from us by writing this book? You're taking away from us, it seems, they complained to the Rebbe, the ability to come and to pour out our hearts, to have you personally guide us. And instead, you're telling us to open a book, and you're telling us that if you read the book, you'll find the answer to your problems. And the Alter Rebbe says, I know that what your people are saying is that hearing words of moral guidance from a teacher, and the teacher is able to speak to you, and the teacher is able to listen, and you can ask a question, and the teacher will see if you're understanding or whatever it is. It's not the same as reading a book. Reading a book is impersonal. Reading a book is addressed to the audience at large. And the reader, when you read a book, will read it after his own manner and mind, meaning he'll understand according to what you know. You're not going to be able to have the same level of understanding as when the person is explaining to you what the person means. It's like reading a text. You know, everybody says, let's tell you, that did you talk to the person? Yeah, I texted. But texting and picking up a phone and having a conversation is not the same thing. That when you text, you can only understand what it says in the words of the text. You have a conversation, you hear the inflection, you hear the tone, you hear another word, there's an extra word, this and that. You don't understand. You say, what do you mean? So Alter Rebbe says exactly this. If your intellect and your mind are confused to begin with, and that's why you need this book, then how are you going to understand the book? So what am I doing? That's what Hasidim were complaining to the Alter Rebbe. He'll find it difficult to see the beneficial light, which is hidden in the book. Although the truth is that there's a lot of power in this. And the Alter Rebbe will differentiate between two kinds of books. There's a book which is the books on piety founded on human intelligence surely don't affect all people equally. If I'm writing a book and the book is containing lots of amazing information, but it's intended to lift up people who need that information, who need that uplifting, well, the intellect of one person is not affected and aroused by something, by that which affects and arouses the intellect of another. Alter Rebbe brings a proof to this from the fact that we make a special bracha when 600,000 Jews gather in one place, that we make a special bracha that we have the sum total of all the different ways of thinking. It's such an amazing thing. This is a proof that people think differently. And we also, Alter Rebbe brings a further proof for this from the Torah, because that's how we Jews roll, so to speak. We don't just make statements. Any statement that we make has to be backed up in order to know. This is a parenthetic comment. Hasidim ask the following question: how do we know that the world actually exists? How do we know that we're not living an illusion, a mirage, that we're not living in some kind of a matrix-like movie, that the world actually exists and we're not just imagining it? After all, people imagine different things, and then we look at them and we say they're crazy. You have to lock them up. Maybe we're all crazy and the world doesn't exist and there is no real world. And the whole thing is an illusion, and we're not real. Maybe. How do you know? And the answer Chassidim give is, it says in the Torah that Hashem created the world. The Torah is the ultimate truth. And the first sentence in the Chumash in the Torah is, Bereshis bara Elokim, Hashem created the world. So if you ever have a doubt whether or not there is a world, look in the Torah, and your doubts will be put to rest. It says in the Torah, yes, there really is a world. Chassidim also give another answer, and that is that if Hashem gives us mitzvahs to do, and the mitzvahs depend on the world, well, then mitzvahs are also truth, and mitzvahs are Hashem's will, and the mitzvahs depend on the world, so there must be a world if there are mitzvahs. They both are going to the same direction. We have no idea of what is truth unless the Torah tells us this is truth. And again, as a parenthetic comment, in this parenthetic comment, if you take a look today at what's happening in the streets, you have hundreds of thousands of people marching for Palestine, Palestine, Palestine. They have absolutely no clue what's happening. Somebody told them something, and they're marching. And that's a problem. That's a problem when you don't have a mooring, you don't have a foundation that's based on truth. If your foundation is based on a fiction, then your entire life is a fiction. That's how you have all these religions. You have 2 billion people believing in something It's based on a fiction. So this is one of the, not the most important thing that we as Jews can take away from Torah in general, and that is you cannot move right or left unless the Torah says so. You don't know if you're falling off a cliff. You might be absolutely diving headfirst off of a 1,000-foot cliff right into the rocks below it by doing a certain action that is against Torah. And if the Torah says to do it and you do it, then you're absolutely protected. You're absolutely 100% doing the right thing. And if it doesn't work out in the first minute, it will work out. This is the secret of Jewish survival. It's counterintuitive. The secret of Jewish survival, and again, this is a parenthetic comment. The secret of Jewish survival is sticking to the Torah, even when it seems counterintuitive, when it seems contrary to being normal, being accepted, being loved by the people around us, by the nations around us. We're going to lose our job. We're going to lose our this. No, the Jews that stick to the Torah are the Jews who live to tell the tale. The Jews who don't, unfortunately, it's a cause and effect. It's not, you can't even say it's a punishment. It's a cause and effect. It's like saying you go outside without a coat in the middle of the wintertime and you go to sleep and you don't go to sleep at night and you don't eat properly and then you get sick. It's a cause and effect. We need to know that Hashem's Torah is what keeps us sane, what tells us what the truth is, and what guides us in our life in the best possible way. And it has to be, obviously, in a way of peace, and it has to be in a way of beauty. And the language in the Gemara is, and language in the Tanakh is, Derecheha Darchei Noam. The ways of Torah are ways of pleasantness and peace. So if you're doing something that the gears are clashing and the clutch feels like it's taking apart the car, and the wheels are spinning, and you're so that's not Torah. Then you're applying Torah in a wrong way. The Torah has to be, you have to follow the Torah, but you got to make sure at the same time, obviously, that the Torah is not a Torah that is tearing apart the house, but it's a Torah that is making the house work. And how do you do that? The answer is you got to have good advice. And one of the good advice is the book of Tanya, which the Alter Rebbe is explaining to us how to approach life. So anyway, what getting back to the introduction here, the Alter Rebbe's introduction, the Alter Rebbe is telling us that how do we know that there is, why did I start saying this parenthetic comment? Because look what the Alter Rebbe is saying. How do we know that there is a difference of opinion between human beings? So a person says, how do I know? I know because I just had an argument with my friend. I know that my kids are fighting. I'm fighting with my spouse. How do I know? What do you mean, how do I know? Everybody knows. The Alter Rebbe doesn't say everybody knows. The Alter Rebbe proves it from the Torah, from the fact that Yehoshua, Joshua, our great leader after Moshe, is appointed to serve, to take care of the Jew, to lead the Jewish people into Israel. And Hashem tells Moshe, appoint Yehoshua because he is a man who has special spirit. What's the spirit? The spirit that he has, he's able to put up with everybody else's spirit. Meaning that there are so many different opinions in the Jewish community. Yehoshua is a leader who's able to lead all the people, and he's able to convince and to lead and to ensure that all the different opinions go in the same direction, even though there are so many different opinions. So this is a proof from the Torah that there are different opinions. That's the point. But even works of Musar, that's if you write any book. But even if you're quoting, if you're writing a book, the Alter Rebbe says, that's simply based on your own theories, on your own philosophies, and we're talking about Torah, Jewish philosophies. So you have a great sage who's writing a book who is relying on his own philosophies in order to motivate his community, right? Alter Rebbe says, such a book will be received differently by every single member of that community, depending on the person. But what about a book, the Alter Rebbe says, where you're simply quoting from the Torah? Is that also, and this is not your own philosophies, now you're quoting from our sages, from the Torah itself. Maybe that is something that is okay. Maybe that's something that people will not take in a different understanding, every single person who reads it. Because after all, that's Torah, and everybody has access to Torah. The Alter Rebbe says, no, even such a book, even the works of Musar, his foundation of the peaks of holiness founded on the Midrashim of our sages, still people, each individual Jew approaching the Torah, will approach the Torah based on the root of their soul. It's a beautiful concept that each one of us has a neshama, we have a soul, and each one of our neshamas are attached to the Torah in a different way. That means that we are looking, when we study Torah, each individual Jew, and we talk about the number 600,000 because that's a root number, the root number of souls, and from that root number branches out all the other souls. So each one of these 600,000, Al-Qadabba says, general souls, and of course their individual souls that branch out from them, down to even the lowest soul spark residing in the Jew who appears to be the least worthy, the least estimable, the least, you know, important member of our people, the children of Israel, are all bound up with the Torah. But we each have a different jumping off point, a different connection. This is a general statement. But the Torah applies individually to each soul. And because each individual neshama, each Jew has his own individual neshama, his own individual soul. Each individual soul is attached to some part of Torah that's not the same as somebody else's part of Torah. And for that reason, the Alter Rebbe says, when we study Torah, we approach and our attitude to Torah is based on our neshama, on our soul. So if my soul looks at Torah from the lens of where my soul is attached to, and your soul looks at Torah from the lens of where your soul is attached to, then we can both look at the same statement and we can come away with a different understanding. Again, I'm not talking about the literal meaning, but a different type of being affected because it works through the interface of our neshama. The Alter Rebbe is here making the question bigger and explaining why people have a problem, why Chassidim were complaining that he's sort of reducing all of his advice, all of his help as a Rebbe to his Chassidim, he's reducing it to putting it into a book. Obviously, if the book is based on your own philosophies, be sure everybody will read the book differently. And maybe they won't even understand. Maybe they won't even get what the original, intent of the author was. But even if it's based on Torah and quoting parts of Torah, the Alter Rebbe says, since we each have a different connection to Torah based on our neshamas, then we also have a different understanding. So people will understand the book differently. And that's why the Alter Rebbe says we could find arguments in the Talmud and the Gemara between different sages. And sometimes the sages are, one says day and the other says night. How could this be? They're both looking at the same thing. And the answer is each sage is coming from the lens of their individual neshama. And we also say, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Both sages, the one who says kosher, is this kosher? And the other says, no, it's not, it's treif. One says day, one says night. They're both the opinion of Hashem. They're both spiritual opinions rooted in the spirituality of Torah. How could this be? The answer is because Hashem's energy is multifaceted. Hashem's energy is multidimensional. The diversity of opinion in halacha stems from the plurality in the source of the energy. And in the source of the energy, as we just explained, the source of the energy is the source of our own neshamas. So, and the Alter Rebbe is going to tell us right now that in general, the energy is divided into three branches. right, left, center. And again, this is poetry. This is a metaphor, not right, left, center. It's energy. So it's not, the energy is not on the right, energy is not on the left, energy, it's energy. Doesn't have a, doesn't take a place. But it is a metaphor, it is poetry for being less, more giving, more restricting, or in the middle, being sort of not so hot, not so cold, but warm. And we call this, in the language of the Zohar, we call this Chesed, Gevura, and Tiferes. And we will be discussing the 10 Sefirot in the coming chapters. So these are the, some of three of the 10 Sefirot. The souls which are rooted in the attribute of kindness, meaning those neshamas, those souls that have more of a connection to kindness. And again, kindness does not mean kindness. It's a bad translation. You have to use some word to translate the word chesed. But the word chesed, to begin with, is a poetic way of explaining an energy flow. So to translate that poetry literally can absolutely make you mixed up. What chesed means is an unimpeded flow of energy, a flow of energy that is unrestricted, that is not hindered, not stopped, not blocked by other considerations. So souls which are rooted in the attribute of kindness, and again, the word kindness here is poetry for energy which has no restriction. What does it mean, energy which has no restriction? It means that when Hashem creates the world, Hashem puts his energy into the world, and that energy is what creates us and what creates the world around us, then the question becomes, can we access, can we have interaction with that thing that Hashem created? In other words, is it kosher? Can we eat it? Can we do it? What do you mean, can we eat it? Can we do it? It means, can we, our neshama, can it access, can it elevate, can it have interaction with the energy that Hashem put into that thing that is the questionable thing, whether it's kosher or not? And the answer is, if you're a neshama that comes from chesed, a neshama that comes from the unimpeded energy flow, then you're in favor of an unrestricted, unimpeded energy flow process. And then what's going to be your response to that question? I'm a neshama. Hashem created me. Hashem created this piece of meat, or this piece of fish, or this piece of I don't know what, or this action, because every action is created by Hashem. Can I do it? Can I eat it? Meaning, can I have access to that energy? Or is that energy precluded? Is it that energy hidden from me? And if you're a soul that is a chesed soul, that is a soul in favor of unimpeded energy access, then your response is going to be, yes, you can. You're a neshama. This is energy from Hashem. There's no question about it. You can interact with this thing and you'll be able to elevate it. You'll be able to, in the physical world, you'll be able to eat it, or the action, you'll be able to do it. Whereas if you're a neshama that comes from Gevura, which is the restrictive energy flow, then you'll say, no, you can't do it. Why can't I do it? You don't have the capacity to properly work with it. You don't have the capacity to properly elevate it. What do you mean I don't have the capacity? Well, from the restriction of Gevura, there's many different reasons why. Many different reasons why a person should not have access. Either it's too much for you, you haven't reached the levels that you need to reach, or maybe that in that particular level of energy is not, is going to mess you up and is not going to allow you. So I'm looking out for your benefit. It's like you sit down to a meal and you want to eat everything on the smorgasbord. Well, if you eat everything, you get a stomachache. So you have to pace yourself, limit yourself. So I'm looking out for your best interest, says the Gevura Neshama. I want you to focus. I want you to be more in tune with who you are specifically, and you can't do everything. So that's why the Gevura Neshama would say that this type of thing is not kosher. This type of action is not permissible. The Alter Rebbe explains to us that there are neshamas, there are souls that themselves come from certain attitudes that have of Hashem putting energy into the world, whether it's a chesed or a gevura attitude, or it could be a tiferes attitude, which is more of a peacemaker attitude, more of let's figure out, maybe we can do it. Let's see how we can make it work. Let's combine, maybe not so much, maybe let's a little nuance, a little attenuation. Maybe it doesn't have to be completely forbidden or a completely open door policy, maybe a little in the middle. So this is Alter Rebbe explaining to us that every Jew has a part in Torah. Every Jew is a product of their neshama, and the neshama is attached to different parts of Torah. And the way your neshama process has been given to you, whether it's a chesed process or a gevura or a teferis process, will determine your understanding, will determine your attitude towards the spiritual energy that is in the world, that is in Torah. This only makes the question bigger. How can you write a book that's good for everybody and say to everybody, read the book and you get your answers? We all have different approaches. We all have different neshamas. We all have different attitudes. And how can one book, surely, the Alter Rebbe says, how much more so in matters which are hidden to Hashem Almighty, namely, we're talking here, this book is supposed to be helping us attain awe for Hashem, love for Hashem in each person's mind, in each person's heart. However, the Alter Rebbe says, in answer to all of these very, very valid questions, I know you guys. I'm not writing a book for people that I've never had an interaction with. I know you. I've spoken to you. I know what your issues are. I speak, however, of those who know me well, each and every of our Nash. Nash is an acronym for the people of our community, Anshei Shlomeinu, the people of our community, and those countries nearby, with whom affectionate words will often exchange a private audience. I've spoken to you people already. I already know what your questions are. And you keep coming back to me with the same questions. And as soon as I, Alter Rebbe says, spend an hour or whatever it is with one person, the door opens up and the next person comes in with the same exact question. So I'm going to write a book with all the questions that all of you people have been asking me and all the answers. And I hope you'll understand it. What happens if you don't understand it? Well, if you don't understand it, then find somebody who does understand it and ask them to explain it to you. Alter Rebbe says literally these words, I have therefore recorded all the replies to all the questions. No longer will one need to press for a private audience. For in this Likutei Amarim, in this book of Tanya, you'll find tranquility for your soul. You'll find counsel for everything that you find difficult in the service of Hashem. So what is the Alter Rebbe telling us here? That's what the Alter Rebbe says. Every single question that a person has in their life will be answered somewhere in the Tanya. The problem is we don't know exactly where or how to take it out. All right, fine. So the Alter Rebbe says, he whose mind is too limited to understand how to derive advice from these pamphlets, let him discuss his problem with the scholars of his town, and they'll find somebody who knows more than you, and they will enlighten him. And I'm asking these scholars that they should not be humble, and they should not say, I don't know, and they should not lay their hand upon their mouth, meaning keep silent when asked for advice for fear of appearing to be proud in their knowledge, to conduct themselves with false modesty, humility, Alter Rebbe says, it's well known that if a person understands Torah and has access to Torah knowledge and refuses to share it with other people, that's considered to be a terrible thing. And conversely, there is considered to be a great reward for people who do share their Torah knowledge. And what is the reward? Meir Einei Shneihem Hashem. As the Torah tells us, Hashem will enlighten the eyes of both. Thus, Hashem will be able to give energy to all the people or thing. And then Alter Rebbe says, my hope, of course, is that Mashiach will come. And when Mashiach comes, there will no longer be the need of one man to teach another man, because we will all see Hashem's presence clearly. Kulam yodosi will all see Hashem's presence. The knowledge of God will fill the earth as the waters fill the sea, and so on. So that is the Alter Rebbe's introduction to Tanya. Essentially, at the end of the introduction, Alter Rebbe is saying is that nobody's allowed to print the Tanya for at least 5 years from the last printing. In other words, essentially a copyright. So essentially, this introduction, we went through the title page in the introduction. We spoke about the Bilvav Chala Asoso. We spoke about the fact that the Alter Rebbe explains to us that what Moshe is telling us is that we have the power and the capacity and the capability of remaking our emotional process, our emotional, our hearts, remaking our thoughts in order to be able to work on ourselves internally, to be able to get rid of the struggle, the tension between the material and the spiritual worlds, the tension between what we ordinarily want and desire, which is materialism. And sometimes that materialism is permissible and sometimes it's impermissible stuff. And how do we get rid of that and that struggle, that fight? So Alter Rebbe says, Moshe tells us it's easy, and I'm going to explain to you how in a long and a short way. We explained the long and the short way to be the focusing on the fact that we have this in our DNA, or focusing on the fact that we have the capacity to meditate, to understand. We also went through the Alter Rebbe's introduction to Tanya, where he explains to us that all the answers to all the questions the Chassidim have been asking me about how to fulfill mitzvahs in the best possible way, and or whatever, any general question that the Chassidim have been asking the Rebbe, are going to be put into this book of Tanya. And if you don't see the answer to your question, then try to find someone who has greater knowledge, greater understanding. Of course, even after this, where the Alter Rebbe seems to be saying he's not going to be entertaining private audiences, the Alter Rebbe still took many, many hours of private audience, as did all the Rebbes, of private audiences and writing letters and individually coaching, individually explaining.